Okay, so who must report changes to us? So basically, the report comes from SSI recipients themselves or their representative payee. Those are the people that are responsible for reporting the changes. And what must they report? So we explain the kinds of changes to report and also how the change affects the SSI. So for example, we always tell them there's a change in your income, there's a change in your resource, not only for yourself, but also for those deemers, which is that parent, that spouse, or that sponsor, then these are the type of things that need to be reported to SSA. We also emphasize changes that relate to the recipient's own circumstances. So for example, if during a redetermination, the recipient mentions, I might be receiving inheritance, or I'm thinking about going back to work, then again, that's an opportunity for us to remind them that if you do receive an inheritance, or if you do go back to work, then you do need to report those changes to us. Now, when are they to report the changes? So we advise individuals that they should report a change as soon as it happens, or of course, shortly thereafter. But a report is due within 10 calendar days after the month in which the change occurs. So for example, today is March 5th. If the change happens today, then SSA needs to receive that report by April 10th. A report by mail is timely when the postmark date is within that same 10-day period. We also explain to individuals that a change that affects SSI must be reported even if it's late. Sometimes individuals tell us that I didn't know how to report that change, or I didn't remember how to report the change. But when it does come to light, or they do remember, they still are required to report the change. So definitely we accept late reports. We also explain that if they do not report on time, a couple of things may happen. One is they may not receive the current benefit when it's due. And of course, they're due on the first of the month, except for holidays and weekends, but they may not receive it on time if that report is not submitted on time. Also, they may have to pay back an overpayment. So again, depending on the type of change, and if it is late, it may cause an overpayment that we're going to request for them to repay. Another thing is they may have a penalty deduction from the SSI payment, again, for failure to report. And lastly, they could lose SSI if they do not report information to SSA that we ask for when we do our yearly reviews with them. So how are they to report this information to us? So we explain to recipients that the report may be in writing, it may be by telephone, and of course, under normal circumstances, they can also visit the field office. SSA offices are closed at this time, so reports are not coming in that fashion. And then lastly, what should the report contain? We need to know the reporter's name, so who are we getting this report from? We need to know the name and the social security number of the person the report is about, so we know whose record we need to update. We also need to know the facts about the change, exactly what happened, and then lastly, we need to know when did the change happen. So just to wrap this up, as far as general reporting responsibilities are concerned, there's certain individuals who must report to SSA, and we tell them what they should report. We tell them when they should report the change, how to report the change, and also the content of that report. So that takes care of the general reporting responsibilities. So now Dana will tell us more about the more specific trust-related responsibilities.
Okay, thank you, Amanda, and good morning, everybody. In CLE land, like Amanda stated, we're thrilled, we're honored to attend once again and to be presenting virtually. We're also proud to be a mainstay here at the program. And hopefully I have no volume issues this year. That's usually an issue with me. You know, I'm soft smoking, but I'm loud. So that's my MO in most situations. So that's, I'll try to do my best to speak up and provide this information to you. We know that you appreciate it. And so we want to continue here. As Amanda stated, she did go over those general reporting responsibilities. And I'm going to go ahead and round out reporting responsibilities with going over trust-related reporting responsibilities. So when reporting the establishment of a special needs trust, the recipient must provide the following evidence to the agency. Now, first, we're going to ask for a copy of the signed trust document, as well as any other related documents. A copy is certainly fine. We don't need to see the, you know, original executed trust document. A copy of the document is going to be just fine. Now, other related documents that can include any court orders for establishment of the trust, any legal guardianship documentation, as well as if there have been any amendments to the trust, and if there have also been any irrevocable assignments to the trust. All of that information is greatly appreciated when the evidence is submitted to the agency so that we can make a full and complete determination based on everything that should be reviewed prior to making a determination.